Hello and welcome to A Vague Idea. This is a comedy trivia podcast. I'm Nate Rigolia. Each week, we subject our guests to a list of topics to find out if they have a vague idea. And this week, we're going to be talking about something that most of us don't want to run astride of or askew of. I don't know, the law. We're talking about law, but specifically the practicers of law, like Jim Carrey in the film Liar Liar. We're talking about lawyers. And we are blessed to have two returning guests who both happen to occupy that very profession. And neither of them have been on the show in, I don't know, nigh on many months. Our first returning guest has been on most recently, but it's still been, I think, since the anniversary show that this particular person appeared, and that is Joe Hinson. Joe, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, and I'll keep the crappy jokes that I did on the anniversary special to a minimum.
That's great. And they weren't bad. I don't want you to, you're selling yourself short here. I don't think that that's fair. And plus it meant a lot to me that you came on to that anniversary show. And our second guest hasn't been on since I think episode 5 or 6, maybe. It's been a long time, but
okay.
I think, you know, as with all things, it takes a little bit of time to marinade, to bake, the yeast has got to rise, etc. And she's back with a vengeance. It's Maha Kamal. Welcome back, Maha. How are you?
Hi, Nate. I'm good. I remember, the only thing I remember from the last game is barn burners.
Yeah. You were a victim of both of you were victims of the show when it was still just whatever random shit I thought of, and there were no themes or even a structure to speak of.
So we're talking about the law today, are we?
Well, we're going to talk about lawyers. So there won't be, I'm not going to be citing subsections of various.
Like barred, disbarred, in between.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Correct.
That sounds great.
It's going to be good. So
I'm still barred for the record.
And
me
and
too. Me
with
too.
Good reason. And I think what's funny, and without naming any names, we mutually know a person who somehow managed to remain barred while disappearing from the face of the universe, which is funny. It's funny that happens.
You're going to have to fill me in on this gossip when we're done.
Yeah, this is NDA level goss. So you're going to have to talk to Maha about it later. But yeah, so we're going to start with the opening.
I don't think he's barred anymore.
Oh, okay.
Nate.
Well, that's good. That's probably for the best. Yeah, yeah. It seemed like everything was going very dangerously bad. So
it ended, I think. Sure. But anyway, yeah, that's between us.
All stories, good and bad, have to come to an end at some point.
You can check it out in The Colorado Lawyer.
And I just sent, and Maha, I just sent you a message asking if I had the name right.
Oh, yeah, listeners, there is so much gossip going on around the background and Facebook Messenger here. This is exciting, and you'll never get to see it. So we're going to start with the opening question, and Maha, I'm going to start with you. So the opening question is, who is your favorite assistant ADA from the TV show Law & Order? Any of the iteration. Who do you like?
I don't like any of them because I've never seen the show.
Oh, shit. Okay. So just no, you have no background experience with Law & Order.
I can
or
Wikipedia.
Any of...
Yeah, I have not. It's like
okay.
Suits is to doctors, right? I can't do it. Not Suits. Sorry, shit. I'm talking like
yeah.
Grey's Anatomy or House is to
or
doctors.
ER.
Is
yeah.
Like Law & Order is to lawyers. I'm not.
You don't want to go to work when you're at home?
Yeah. Or the fact that they skip over the really lawyerly parts, which is like 8 months of discovery, and just zip straight into trial, like nothing happened before.
Oh
that.
Yeah,
yeah,
no, that,
the
that's
dates
a very
are
good point.
So unreasonable.
Yeah.
Wait, were you asking about my favorite paralegal on the show?
Your favorite assistant ADA was what I was looking for.
I wouldn't know. I don't have any.
There's Law & Order has a rotating cast of ADAs who appear here and there. Sam Watterson is one of the best because he's Sam Watterson.
Wait
but
a
everybody
minute, let's
is,
talk
is a ton of other people.
ADA is assistant district attorney.
Yeah, so I think I said assistant ADA, which is not actually what I meant.
Yeah, see this lawyer thing's going really well right now.
Yeah,
yeah, we're on
great.
You for those definitions.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I'm not a professional because I am not compensated for doing this show. So great, Maha.
I'm not a criminal attorney. I do family law. We don't have ADAs. Do we? I don't think so. We do not.
Probably not.
If it
no.
goes, if it goes sideways enough, you will have to interact with the ADA. I'll tell you that right now.
That's true. I have not to date, which is why I'm still barred.
Good, good. Well, okay, Maha, great answer. Joe, do you have a favorite ADA from Law & Order?
Well, Sam Waterston will always hold a special place in my heart for it, especially because my mother and sister were obsessed with those shows. But my, personal favorite was, I forgot her name. She wasn't on very long, but it was the one that was fired because, you know, she was a lesbian, or that she asked if she was fired because of a she was a lesbian, and I forgot who that was.
Oh yeah, played by Carrie something, who was the Bond girl, and she had like the pixie cut. Is that the one you're thinking of?
Yes, and she was so boring. And the only reason she's my favorite is because she's the most accurate DA. See, she is just bland
as
paint.
Does that mean, Joe, accurate DA? No, I want to know this, counsel. Please tell me. What does accurate DA mean?
Oh, not the big fiery, you know, causing everyone to gasp in court bullshit, but the real boring, okay, I know the law, section one. I'm going to have a relatively calm demeanor, but then be kind of snippy.
The Gunner DA.
Low key Gunner DA.
Okay.
Okay.
Wait, Gunner. Do I get points for not knowing or not watching this show? I feel like I should get points, Nate.
Yeah, no, you're both getting 1 point. You did great. That was excellent.
But
wonderful
God,
work.
Gunner, I forgot about that term, and now I'm having a law school flashback. So can I elaborate on what Gunner means?
Please do.
It's the ones that always raise their hand no matter what the question is, no matter what the class is, no matter what the subject. They will raise their hands and contribute, and it is asinine half the time because they don't know what they're saying. My personal favorite, if you'll allow me an anecdote.
Please do.
It was in con law, which, you know, somehow I got a good grade in that class. I really don't know how, but it was our first semester of law school. It was after our midterm, so everyone in class is just drained and just out of it. And con law is one of those really hyper theoretical classes where you're really into like, what do you think it means, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I don't do well typically in that environment. But this gal had come in and she was auditing the class. So she had gotten into DU, wanted to see what the classes were like, and was in. And the professor asked a question, and everyone's mind was so fried from the midterms, no one was raising their hand. But then this gal out of nowhere raises her hand and it's like, well, you know, I think the founding fathers would have been blah, 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 and went on for a good 40 seconds before the time I finally lost my temper and blurted out, she doesn't even go here.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You would have done that. But that makes you kind of an assistant gunner. You know that, right?
Not really. I'm a realist. I'm bringing it back down to earth.
You're not an originalist. You're not an originalist.
Oh, hell no.
No one is.
I don't know. It's absurd. There's people in the Supreme Court that make
No. There are people who claim to be, but it's such an absurd thing. It's being like,
it
oh,
is absurd.
Know, it doesn't mean anything. It's just trying to rebrand. Like, I want to use the law to be as hateful as possible. Without
yeah. Like Amy Coney Shithead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that her? That's not her acronym, though, is it? Anyway.
No, it's not.
No, yeah, I'm pretty sure her last name is Shithead. I think that's what's on the...
Wow, that sounds so religious.
No, that was her maiden.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's Shithid. We're mispronouncing it. Okay. Let's go ahead and say one. You both get 1 point for the opening question. And now we're going to hop into round number one. So, Joe, do you have a vague idea about something called Devil's Advocates, The Unnatural History of Lawyers?
The published work? No, but I know Devil's Advocates are what every kind of men's rights activist claim to be.
Very good. That was sharp. I like that.
But it had a good, it's one of those terms. It's like that, you know, the made you look game, that little hand signal that's now been co-opted by the white supremacists. Because earlier on, a devil's advocate is a good thing in law because you get to argue. It's like, well, the other side is probably saying this. What would you say? It's a good thought exercise. But it's been so co-opted by these idiots who try to, you know, like the originalists. Let's see how hateful I can be by bringing up the opposite side and trying to give it merit.
Yeah, how can I strawman everything that makes any sense to the point where I can make myself make sense even though I'm full of shit? Yeah,
strawman. That's the word I was looking for.
Okay. Maha, do you have a vague idea about Devil's Advocates, The Unnatural History of Lawyers?
Oh, yes, I do, Nate. I have two words for you.
Okay. I'm scared.
Keanu Reeves.
Oh, no. Well, okay. Yeah. Yeah. G- good.
No, I actually don't think that's the, whenever anybody says devil's advocate, I think of the movie and that who's at the end of it, the archangel and
Al Pacino is the devil.
Yeah.
Oh God. It was just you know, sidetrack. Cause that's what this whole thing's about. I actually rented that movie on Netflix when they're still sending out DVDs and I lost it. So I reported it as lost in like 2007. And then in the middle of law school, I found it, the CD after moving.
Where
and
was
so I
it?
Emailed, it was at the bottom of a moving box.
Okay. Nothing all right. That's not happened. As exciting
I not,
as I was hoping.
I was
hoping
not cursed. For. I know. It was very uneventful.
I was hoping it was like in between a couple of books or something
right.
in a way know, that was like, supposed to hint to you no. that you're supposed to advocate.
The textbook that you just bought.
Yeah.
No, this is the bottom of a moving box. I emailed Netflix and they're like, wow, you still have that after 5 years? And I'm like, do you want it back? And they're like, no.
You
don't
know,
use that technology.
It's literally
anymore.
Just plastic to us. We don't give a shit. Yeah.
We'll go back to this. I want to know, you said the devil's advocate, colon.
Yeah, colon, the unnatural history of lawyers. I will tell you what it is. This is a book that
was
published.
Wait, I want my points.
Well, yeah, you're going to get points. Don't worry.
No, I don't know how many points I'm going to get.
You'll find out after I say.
No. If I fully answer this question, do I get more points? Or if I just let you talk, am I going to get the same amount of points?
Objection, badgering the host.
That is not.
I know that's not a thing.
Objected.
No, totally. You're right. No. You're gonna get good points because I like that you brought up the movie Devil's Advocate, which was what I was hoping someone would bring up. The thing in question here is a book that was published in the 80s that is basically one of the most popular sources of all the lawyer jokes that exist in our modern vocabulary of lawyer jokes. It is
was
no
that
longer
published by the New Yorker.
No, it's it was some weird press that I can't remember the name of, but it's very interesting that it was like, okay, so everybody sort of had this anecdotal view of lawyers as, you know, snakes or reptiles or whatever the hell. And then these guys were like, oh, cool, it's the 80s. Let's write a book about how lawyers suck. And then they were like, let's, you know, and now we'll go do real estate speculation, be gross ourselves. Probably. I don't know. It was the 80s. Everybody was doing coke and being awful. Well, you can, but you can also be very valuable advocates for the things people need.
For our own gratification, though.
Well, sure.
Is it really so? I mean, I just feel like I work tirelessly for not my own gratification at times, but...
Well, no, you're a masochist. We're going to the family law.
That's true. That's true. This is very true.
So great job on Devil's Advocates, the unnatural history of lawyers. Maha, 2 points, because you mentioned the Keanu Reeves movie where he attempts a Southern accent, I don't know, 1,000 times,
really,
and he only hits one Southern accent, I think, one time. And that's Joe, okay. 1 point. And so now we're going to go into round number 2. And Maha, do you have a vague idea about a ghost lawyer?
Yes, I do.
Great, talk about it.
A ghost lawyer. I think it's the lawyer that has to cover your ass on a coverage basis when you fucked up your calendar and double booked, and then you have to call your colleague last minute and they have to step in, but they don't actually make an appearance. They just make it for that day, and the judge and opposing counsel know that you can't manage your calendar.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty good. Joe, what can you add about ghost lawyer?
I had a little bit different of an understanding of it. I considered myself to be a ghost lawyer because there's been a lot of cases, like I have friends all over the country who somehow get into trouble somehow. The big one was in Alaska. I kind of step in and do a lot of the ghost lawyer will do a lot of the background work and, you know, whether or not they're licensed in the territory, and then send that on to the attorney who's licensed there so they can move forward. I usually did it for, like, the big one I did was out of Alaska, this awful custody DVPO situation, where I'm like, okay, she's a single mom of 5, can't really afford much. I'll be the ghost lawyer doing most of the research and kind of guiding her, but then let the Alaskan attorney know what's up. And then she doesn't have to be billed $300 an hour for a couple questions.
Very good. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
I think you're talking, if we're going with Joe's answer, we're talking about solicitors in the UK, where they do all of the background work, but they can't go to trial, then they leave it to the barrister to take it to trial. Is that what a ghost lawyer is?
I may have been unemployed for 6 months, but I never solicited.
Oh my God, Jeff, that is not the depth. I'm not going
to
speak.
I think you hit an important point there. I was going to say to Joe that Joe is also a ghost lawyer because he did burn down 30 years ago. So that's a thing.
I don't exist.
You were never here. Oh, spooky reveal. Yeah, as far as the definition of a ghost lawyer, that is a lawyer who writes for other lawyers without assuming credit. Ghost lawyers often offer their services to lawyers who need help on a project-by-project basis without wanting to take on a full associate. So it's kind of like a bullpen role, which is basically what you said, Maha, with solicitors versus barristers, where it's like, hey, I need somebody to do this work, but I'm not going to do it, and you're not going to be the person who talks. So it's somewhere in between. I like both of your answers. You did very well. 2 points.
So instead of a face for radio, it's a face for being a solicitor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You got a real face for soliciting legally. You know, last time, otherwise.
I used to get like 13 points on this show. What happened?
Hey, things have changed. You know, as the world gets darker, the points have to flow a little more, little more deliciously. So yeah, 2 points each.
You're rationing points now. Wait, does that mean that the inflation's gone down and each point is now worth more?
Oh, they're worth so much until I break it, because later something might be worth like 50 points. And then that's just, you know, honestly, this has to do with how much time I want to put into the post-production sound effects required to make the points happen.
It's like the Fed.
It's tied to Bitcoin.
Yeah, yeah. great job. We're going to play our first game. It's time for the Thunderdome. And this week in the Thunderdome, we have a crazy matchup of lawyers. One of the OGs in the practice of law will be facing off with one of the most famous practitioners of law of our lifetimes. This battle is between Cicero and Johnny Cochran. Who wins in a battle to the death in the Thunderdome? Joe, what do you think?
Oh, God, Cochran. Because Cicero, it's like, yes, you've laid the foundation for a lot of shit. But for God's sake, you're boring to read.
Yeah,
Cochran will at least make it entertaining.
I think that's really well said. Yeah, if anybody's gonna take everything that Cicero built and find a way to perform upon it, it would be Johnny Cochran, and that's your bread and butter. At some point,
we're almost 30 years on, and we all still remember: if the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit. I can't remember a single fucking thing that Cicero ever said.
I really only remember Cicero's name. I would really have to thoroughly go back and read to remember stuff that I read in college.
Okay, so this is the time, confession time, that I've been weirdly obsessed with the Roman Empire for the past 3 weeks.
Okay.
And so I've read Caligula, the Mad Emperor.
Do you need help? Do you want us to help you?
No, I love this. I know everything about Tiberius. I know everything about Caligula. I know everything about Nero and his mother, Agrippina, who was also Caligula's sister and also married his uncle. And Cicero was in the mix somewhere there. And I'm not entirely sure which emperor, because I'm not that good at what I'm doing. I just think out of an affinity for the last 3 weeks, which has no bearing on anything, I'm going to have to go with Cicero on this. And plus, I mean, at the time, they were like really big into the gladiator games, right? And the Senate had really no authority and would bullshit trials and stuff. But that is the founding era, right, of law. So I feel like we need to give Cicero and not this guy that's a complete hyperbolic attorney.
Okay.
DAs could be too.
Oh, sure. Do you think that Cicero's In the Mix would be the name of Cicero's Spotify station? And if so, name two songs that might appear on his playlist.
Yeah, Cicero's In the Mix. So Nate, if I had to govern his playlist, it would be very historically accurate. There's this guy, I believe his name is Michael Levy. This is how crazy I'm getting with my obsession with the Roman Empire. Like, when I'm reading the book, I need to have a soundtrack in the back that's instrumental, but complements what I'm reading, right? So I found Michael Levy, and he's reconstructed all of ancient Roman music.
Okay.
So that would be a Cicero's mix, which no one's ever going to listen to, unless we do a Chicago remix of this, like Chicago House. I could see that. Can you see that?
I'm in for that.
Flute? No, they didn't use the flute until later. What was it called? The lyre.
Like a piccolo?
No, that's what they use. They ripped it off from the Greeks, and it's fucking terrible, Nate. They're screaming in the back. There's just like, it's completely discombobulated. But you
They
add,
didn't have anything else to do.
That's it was true. Like, and they
all we can do is make these sounds.
Ah! It's awful. They're screaming, and this is some sort of 1996 album, but it's very historically accurate. I think we should remix that for Chicago House and throw it on the Cicero playlist.
I look forward to being reanimated sometime in the year 4000, where people are listening to this podcast, because it'll surely exist, and going, why did people just yell about nonsense on the internet back then? They could have been so much more advanced. Also, I was going to say, I think that it's refreshing to know anyone who's very obsessed with Roman culture and is not a fascist. So points for that.
They killed a lot of people.
Oh, they sure did.
First part, and that's the part that I have to skip over when I'm
you gotta skip over the parts where like this is why Hitler picked all the iconography, and then jump to the other parts where you're like, but we tried to do good things.
Sometimes I mean Claudius is okay.
Yeah.
So it kind of sounds like the way you're describing it sounds like Cicero not only predicted modern law, he also predicted the early 2000s screamo phase.
He could be totally screamo, like Dashboard. Is that what you're talking about?
Oh no, not Dashboard's wimpy. I'm talking like the Used.
Yeah.
Yes. Let's put that on Cicero's playlist. I think that he would have been a modern day screamo.
I would go a weird little tangent for my contribution to Cicero's playlist would be Godspeed You Black Emperor, because it is instrumental.
Yeah.
It's semi-orchestral, and then there's weird ass noises in the background.
I would put some of the early And You Will Know Us by the Trail of Dead on there as well.
Oh, yes. Source tags and codes.
Yeah.
Oh, man. This is an interesting playlist.
Good. Okay. We have a special assignment. If we get this playlist together, I will share it with the podcast.
I'm
going to
put it together. It'll be a lot of ancient Roman screaming, some modern day screamo, and then coupled and peppered with God knows what else you're going to put in there.
That's
okay. I will help.
What else can we hope for in the year 2020? Great job. 3 points each on the Thunderdome. You were both absolutely correct. It was impossible for me to decide who was more correct. And so we're going to go into a round number 3. And Maha, do you have a vague idea about ambulance chasing?
Oh, I have more than a vague idea about that, Nate. Thank you for sharing that with us. Ambulance chasing happens, and it's an ethical violation. Just for the record, that if it starts off mostly, I think, with personal injury attorney. So it's like that guy that's not guy, but licensed attorney at the time that's just strolling the hallways of a hospital looking for somebody who's been injured and trying to solicit their services. So it's like, hey, it looks like you've been injured. Why don't you, here's my card. I'm just hanging around Sky Ridge. I just don't know why what I'm doing here except passing out my cards to injured people. Or just showing up at the scene and sending business cards. That's the literal definition of ambulance chasing. It can also happen in family law, where you go to weddings uninvited and just start passing out your card just in case.
Just because you're like, hey, maybe this isn't going to work out and you're going to need to call somebody.
If you're that ballsy, maybe you could go right up to the bride and groom and say, hey, if this doesn't work out or you need a post-nuptial agreement, this is my business card. You're usually targeting the bridesmaids, okay? They're probably having a shitty relationship with somebody at this point married, or maybe in a common law situation, and you just pass out your card.
And they're ready to make some bad decisions because they're already pissed off at the bridesmaids.
Yeah, they're sitting there going,
chasing and, yeah.
I got this hideous dress on. I am ready to hire counsel because I need to sue this person for putting me in a, I don't know.
No, that would be a civil suit. But if you're in a dress and you're like, fuck that bitch, and she's so happy today, I'm not happy in my marriage.
And she met her now husband about a year before I met my current boyfriend. She's getting married.
Yeah, there's that. There's that long engagement problem.
That's an extreme version of ambulance chasing in divorce cases. Yeah,
I love it. Joe, do you have anything to add for ambulance chasing?
Well, Maha pretty much got it. But the only thing I'll add is if you ever see an attorney advertising on TV or radio, they are probably an ambulance chaser. I can't say names because I don't want to get sued for slander/lie.
I'm not saying names.
All I'll say is I've met one of the Denver ones and he is a total ass.
I tend to, and this is not to slander anyone, but I tend to assume that if you have a billboard or you have a commercial that is on associated with a syndicated show that was on in the 90s but is now on at 10 o'clock at night or later, that you have a specific clientele you're seeking. And it's probably not people who are, you know, not desperate for some sort of satisfaction from the way that life has fucked them. And that's fine. But no, I mean, there's every city has them. Every city's got their late night person who says, hey, you're going to get hurt in a car accident and you need to call me because we're going to do the shit for you. So do you understand me? This is my commercial because I've only got 15 seconds worth of money. And that's what they say. That's pretty good.
During my unemployment, I was shocked at how many different personal injury lawyers there are in the Denver area that advertise.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. I think that if any of them want to advertise on this show, please, I would be happy to plug you.
I mean, it was either personal injury attorneys, J.G. Wentworth, or walk-in baths. Those were the only commercials I saw during my unemployment phase.
Oh, my God. it's a kind of dynamic group, though. That's fun. So great job. 2 points each on ambulance chasers. Great job. So now, round number four. Joe, do you have a vague idea about court dress?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I do. You are supposed to dress to the nines going into court. I interned at a DA's office, and one of my favorite memories was a guy walking up. He was in front of the judge for, I think, leaving the scene of an accident causing injury, and the person was, you know, on crutches in a cast, the victim was, and this guy strolls in shorts that are pretty much below nut level and a tank top that says no more bullshit.
So it's so, people's court level.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. People, this is the people's court outtake levels. And sure enough, the judge was not pleased and very quickly reprimanded him and gave him the full penalty.
Great. Maha, anything to add about court dress?
Yes, I do. So court dress, in the historical sense, was that stupid robe and a wig, thanks to the English. Apparently they still do that as a formality with judges.
I'm never going to get fired in the UK.
Well, and the lawyers have to wear those wigs too.
They do. So in the UK, there's this very formal, you know, you have to apply, you have to go through bar school. You actually have to get vouched for by your inn of court, which is totally voluntary here in the United States, but it's actually part of your bar admissions process. So you have to do like, what, 25 dinners, I think my colleague said, in the UK. And then they vouch for you. So judges and colleagues will vouch for you. And yeah, you still have to wear this ridiculous stuff that they used to do. But today's court dress, Nate. In the era of COVID,
ooh, this is the show that you do.
What? I don't do a show.
Court? No, this is a show that you should do. Court dress with Mama.
Well, so the top half of what you can see right now on my Zoom box, which is WebEx for Colorado courts, that should look presentable. So you should have a dress shirt with a dress jacket at all times. Don't just wear a dress as it is for women or whatever you're wearing without a dress coat. But you can wear yoga pants because nobody can see it.
Sure.
If you're daring, go for shorts. I mean, I like sweatpants too. I had opposing counsel at all day hearing once. She sent me like a selfie right before hearing started, and she's all dressed up like all the nines. And then the bottom half is just her sweatpants. And I was like, this is amazing.
That's great.
I did that for a bunch of my interviews too. It was the dress shirt,
oh, yeah,
tie, and
that.
Then
we saw the that underwear. Yeah. on Instagram. So anyway, another layer of this, Nate, is that court dress for different practices vary. Okay, so criminal defense attorneys, my colleagues, have seen their own colleagues in that practice wearing sneakers with like unfitted, you know, suits or whatever into Lindsay Flanagan, at least in Denver County. That's the thing. Family lawyers are kind of in between. So we dress up, but sometimes opposing counsel is dressed up completely inappropriately. And it depends on the county you're in. Denver County expects you to be somewhat, presentable. I would say Arapahoe County too. Jeffco is mostly REI, golden, like boulderite sort of thing. So you could literally walk in as if you're about to go on a hike somewhere in Golden afterwards. And I think you could probably get away with it.
Cargo pants, tie, North Face jacket. You're ready to go.
Yeah, do it.
I object.
You could probably get away with it.
Sustain.
No, I don't think I've ever objected to any. I don't think anyone's ever said anything.
I have a very limited concept of how the law works. I'm just going to say those things that I know from TV.
Oh, I'm giving you insight by county.
Yeah.
But in the age of Zoom and COVID, you just need to be dressed at least business casual, depending. If it's status conference, business casual is okay. If it's a full-blown hearing, you better have a suit jacket and tie and all that kind of stuff. And that's court dress for you in a nutshell.
Right on. Yeah, very good. So the court dress I was looking for was more in the clothing and attire prescribed to members of courts of law for the royal courts, which Maha alluded to, that in the UK, you got your robes, you got your wigs. Would either of you wear one of those wigs if you were required to? I mean, no? You'd just be like, no, fuck it, I'm not doing it.
No. If my hairline recedes any further, maybe, but now, no.
Okay. Even if they were gray.
I mean, I'm having a midlife crisis at the age of 35 anyway. Like, why the fuck would I put on a gray wig on top of that to just further along my crisis, you know?
What if you got to use one of the cool wigs that Mozart wears in the film Amadeus? Because he's got sassy red wigs. Well, yeah, he sure did, but it wasn't because he was wearing wigs. It was because of jealousy.
How do you know that?
And patriarchal misunderstanding of how reality works.
It was because you wore women's clothing with the wigs.
No, they all did. Who is the dude who killed Mozart? This is a conspiracy theory podcast.
I know. We don't know. The movie Amadeus posits that Salieri did, at least.
Salieri, that's right. Salieri did, and he could have been jealous of Mozart's wig.
It could have been. Could have been. He definitely F. Murray Abraham was balding on top.
He's
in the back.
Just flaunting his wealth with that mercury wig, and here I just have lead.
Yeah.
I'm going to be poisoned much slower than he is. Great job on court dress. 3 points for Maha, 2 points for Joe. And now we're going to play our second game. It's time to play Recast. On Recast, I'm going to present a movie, and you have to tell me which two actors from any time and place, any era, any whatever. You can just make people up. I don't care. Would be better in the roles that I name. The film in question is the Lincoln Lawyer, about Matthew McConaughey's character, who does all of his legal practice out of the back of a Lincoln Town Car. And Marissa Tomei, who plays his estranged wife character, I think. And so, Maha, who replaces McConaughey and Marissa Tomei in your ideal Lincoln Lawyer reboot?
I'm going to say, full disclosure again, I've never seen this movie, but if it's Matthew McConaughey, please God, just anybody else could replace him and we'd be fine. I would love to see, like, I don't know, what this sounds like a terrible movie. I think we should do Bill Murray.
Okay, yeah, cool. Yeah. Bill Murray, great.
And who was the other character?
Marissa Tomei plays his estranged ex-wife.
So who would be good with Bill Murray? Somebody from the Wes Anderson lot.
Okay.
That does not surprise me coming from you at all.
No, I mean, let's see. Who was in Royal Tenenbaums? Let's just put her as the ex-wife. Who's the ex-wife?
Just Gwyneth Paltrow or Angelica Paltrow. Houston? Angelica Houston was the ex-wife in the movie, but yeah.
No, Paltrow. Let's do that. We're gonna substitute them with, I have never seen this fucking movie, but substitute them with Wes Anderson cast and see how that goes with a pastel color palette.
Great. Okay, so it's kind of like a August-December romance that's falling apart. And and Bill Murray is your Lincoln Lawyer. All right, great. Joe, what do you think? Lincoln Lawyer.
I'm going to take it a little bit darker. I'm going to go with, just because I watched this last week, I'm going to replace them with The Dark Knight. So Aaron Eckhart replaces Matthew McConaughey, and Maggie Gyllenhaal replaces Marissa Tomei. But I want them to play those characters. I want them to play Harvey Dent and Rachel Dawes, just because I don't know. I would like to see him, practicing law out of the back of his car, but then murdering people. I don't know why. That just seems like it'd be way more entertaining.
That does sound really good. I like the idea of him flipping a coin all the time to try to decide whether or not he's going to, one, take the case early on, but then it's like, oh, hey, do I go further down this terrible road of despair and murder? Heads, shoot, I'm going to. And on and on. I love it. That's good. That's real good. So yeah, Maha, I'm going to give you 2 points, mainly because there was a lot of McConaughey hate in what you had to say, and I'm not.
Oh, okay. She
is a denier of the McConaissance.
He is a endearing proto-libertarian member of our society who deserves. No, really? I can't even keep a straight face.
I mean, he was okay in Contact.
Yeah, no, he's been okay in a lot of things. But yeah,
Interstellar. I mean, he loved his daughter. It was kind of believable.
Yeah, it was sweet. Michael Caine was in that, and he was good.
Matt Damon, I think. There was a belligerent, angry guy that's like lost in deep space somewhere.
Joe, I'm gonna give you 4 points because you really steered right into the skid here and built something beautiful that really we deserved. We needed another Dark Knight era movie like that, and we were cheated from it because we got one really good movie, but we didn't get all the rest of the time, and then we got stuck with the Dark Knight Rises that wasn't as good because it lacked all of the gravitas of those two characters' arcs that were gone immediately.
It tried to shoehorn the weird Occupy thing in really awkwardly.
Oh yeah. But we can all try to do our Bane voices now. Batman. Maha, do you have a Bane voice?
I do not.
Okay.
My only Bane.
I'm not even sure what that is.
My only Bane voice is the one from the Harley Quinn animated show. The It's my reckoning.
Yeah, I don't have one of those. I do not have one of those.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just Tom Hardy eating food and trying to cause a revolution all at once.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great job. And now, from the makers of Pomme ou Pomme de Terre, it's La Chose Francaise Arbitraire. That's the arbitrary French thing. And the only thing that's French about this is the name. So, The Clash famously fought the law, and the law won. I want you to tell me something that you fought that beat you, whether it's the law or not. Maha.
I fought the Amazon cardboard box this morning, and I was trying to put it in the recycling bin, and it won.
Okay. So how did it win? I mean, you are evidently riddled with paper cuts right now, so I think I understand already. Like, listener, she looks like a Hellraiser character with the number of paper cuts all over her body. It is tragic.
I know. I fought the cardboard box from Amazon, and it won. I mean, it was big, Nate, and I'm using, probably without permission, my neighbor's recycling bin because I'm too fucking lazy to order my own from the city of Denver. What I did is I like made it flat, right? Because it comes in a box and you have to like break it down. And
then you did the responsible thing by breaking the box down. You deserve commendation for that.
And then I jumped on it to try to break it down even more so I could fit it like Tetris inside of the purple bin, and I lost.
But you seem okay though otherwise. I mean, I feel like there's a lot of emotional pain here that's not.
That's okay. That's not the only thing I lost today. It's okay.
Oh, geez. Should we just stop right here and we can have a heart to heart?
No, it's okay.
I think we need it.
I would classify that as a potato, by the way.
A potato. Great. Very good. Okay, Joe, what's something that you fought and it won? It beat you.
Well, on the subject of boxes, I fought the box jump, and the box jump won very, very dramatically in the middle of the gym. I got a couple of sets in. I'm like, you know what? I think I've got one more in me. I got it. It got hooked right on the – I didn't make it. I didn't get clearance. It hooked like right in the bottom of my foot. It was against a wall with a metal edge. So shin straight to the metal bar, scrape down, and I'm like, you know what? I'm leaving the gym right now. I'm only halfway through my workout, but – people saw this and I need to leave immediately. But then as I was going down, I didn't realize how much it was bleeding.
Oh yeah.
And then I was walking out and the poor, the front desk gal was like, holy crap. Do you need something? And I looked down, and it's just pouring down my leg. And I'm like, oh yeah. Do you have a towel? Because I don't think any of your little first aid kit band-aids are going to work. So yeah. But then as she handed me the towel, I just saw the color drain from her face. I'm like, great. Not only have I humiliated myself in front of the gym, I'm about to traumatize this poor front desk worker.
She might get a good dose of smelling salts, though, which is fun for everybody.
Oh, she got the vapors.
When I was a kid, We were playing tag, I think, in my friend's back acreage, right? I grew up rurally enough that we had 5 acres and our neighbors had 5 acres and they had horses and goats. And so they also had rolled up spools of chicken wire and stuff like that. So we're running around and I'm like running away from my buddy, not paying attention, looking back. And I turn right at the last second and I ran right into the edge of one of those bundles of chicken wire. And I cut my forehead right open. And then I was like, I'm guessing I was probably like 11. Cut my forehead right open. It hurts. And I'm like, ow, that stings. He comes over and looks at me. He's like, oh, holy shit. And like, I don't know what's going on. So I put my hand up and then suddenly it's red everywhere. And then, yeah, I proceed to have to go get stitches. My father, who was a volunteer firefighter and first responder, who I had been with countless times that we've been driving somewhere. It's like, oh, there's a car crash. We got to go over here. And he'd get, you know, his beeper would go off. We'd go do that. No problem. We go and we're sitting in the doctor's office while I get, I think, 8 stitches. He passes the fuck out.
So my dad was also a fireman for City of Seattle, then went into the paramedic program. That was the most detached human being when it came to injuries. Like, unless there was bone jutting out or you had some kind of a broken limb, it was walk it off, here's some ice, here's some Aleve, you're good. Are we good? Cool. That was him.
Yeah, it's wild. And to your point with your shin injury, like, there are those moments where something will happen. Well, I guess the most recent thing was when I got Rocket, when Rocket was a little puppy. I was playing with him in the park and he bit me on the nose and it hurt, but I wasn't like thinking it was anything. And then I come to like, I'm start walking, I'm like, oh God, blood's dripping off of my face. And then I realize like I'm completely covered in blood. And then, you know, stranger in this neighborhood near the park is like, oh my God, what's wrong with you? It's like, oh no, it's okay. I don't think I'm going to die from this, but I probably need to do something. And yeah, bleeding a lot is it's the most vulnerable thing you can be, right?
Well, that's the thing. I have a feeling I would have felt a lot more physical pain had I not been so humiliated and trying to rush out to save face.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because you took a spill and you're like, I got to get out of here. That makes total sense.
Well, I'm 6'5" too, so I don't fall subtly. It's like, yeah. Oh my God, did an HVAC unit just come through the ceiling? Just happened?
There's an idiom about how bigger things fall for a reason. Yeah. Great, great job on Les Choses Francais Arbitraire. 2 points for Maha, 3 points for Joe. And we're going to go into the final topic here, but I need to let you both know that the game is very close. Maha, you have 17 points and Joe has 16 points. So what comes next is going to be for all the marbles, literally. And as everybody knows who listens to this show, the winner receives a 200-pound bag of marbles shipped COD to
Nate,
them.
You can keep
by
that.
Me. Oh no, I don't have a choice. I've contracts are already signed. The two of you are going to receive an infinite number of marbles.
If you get that Mobaha, if you win it, throw it under the next MAGA protest.
You know, that could lead to a tort action that I just don't want.
Well, they didn't know to know it was you.
Yeah.
There's covert ways to do that.
Yeah, well, we've just outed that on the show, Joe. Not that any MAGA supporter is going to be listening to this, I don't think.
Not that anybody
listeners,
is listening to this. So that's fair.
Well, listeners, keep a secret.
All right. Well, hey, you know what? It'll be the great mystery. If there is a protest where a bunch of people go whoop, 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 and fall down all at the same time due to a random marble spill.
It's like Skate City. I didn't know. I didn't know what you're talking about. Yeah.
It's just a beautiful, it's just nature, you know? Marbles just happen naturally sometimes where they're needed most.
Prove
so,
it.
So for the final topic, Maha, and remember, this is as this pertains to lawyers. So just think about that as you're answering, because there's going to be a lot you're going to have to say about this particular topic, both of you. Do you have a vague idea about Ted Bundy?
I'm pretty sure he was a serial killer.
Yes, he was.
And I'm sure that there was a Netflix special about this. Or is that Jeffrey Dahmer?
No, there's a Netflix special about Ted Bundy. Yeah.
And was he executed?
I believe he was, yeah.
Yeah, I think he was executed. Shit. And I'm sure that there was a long, drawn-out process criminally and appellate for this. But I think Colorado recently abolished the death penalty. So that's what I'm going to say about this, is that I support our state policy on that.
Great. Yeah. No, I do too. I think it's important to just get rid of these things that don't actually, they neither deter nor do anything effective
they don't deter.
With the law.
And
so there's
it's
no
like
point.
Going back to the Romans where you just randomly execute people for whatever you feel is atrocious. And
yeah, I mean, at least have them fight lions, right?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that did honestly.
This didn't occur to me that the timeline is exactly the same for like when Jesus was born. Was like when Augustus was emperor, and then he was executed when Tiberius was emperor. And so the BC AD thing happened at the same time of the Caesar emperors. I didn't know that was the case, but that's deviating way too far off from Ted Bundy to Jesus.
History is a small world, though. That's the important thing. This is why we're supposed to learn from it.
Jesus, I didn't mean to equate Jesus to Ted Bundy. That didn't happen.
No, you didn't.
I think Ted Bundy did think he was Jesus.
Yeah, I think he definitely had that vibe about him where he was like,
he's definitely
not
Jesus.
He believed himself God's gift for certain.
That sounds like Caligula.
Shooting for Jesus, ending up with Caligula.
That's a Roman trivia today. I don't know. It could be Nero too, but Nero was a little bit more self-involved. I think Ted Bundy, if he was to be a Roman emperor, would probably be Tiberius or Caligula.
Okay. Charismatic, gross, self-serving, manipulative.
No, Caligula was. Tiberius isn't that charismatic. He was a little bit more surprising and recluse. So I feel like maybe, at least in his later years, so maybe that's what Ted Bundy was. Like Tiberius reincarnated. I don't even know. I don't have a vague idea. I have some vague idea. Maybe.
No, that was great. That was great. Joe, Ted Bundy, as it pertains to lawyers. As well.
Well, I know he went to University of Washington because my alma mater, Washington State, had sold T-shirts that said Ted Bundy was a Husky. I know he...
Which is not just his child's shirt size.
Oh, no. Oh, no. As it pertains to lawyers, I think he tried to do an insanity defense. He went all over the place. He was like necrophilia, dismemberment of corpse. I think they tried to get an insanity plea and it didn't quite go. But, you know, other than that, he's kind of a contemporary with Dahmer because it was not quite the same time, but it was closing in on it. But still the same kind of thing. The neighbors were always, he was just such a nice guy. And then boom, Skeleton City in the garage.
Oh yeah. Well, there was the whole thing this summer that when that Ted Bundy documentary came out on Netflix women were quote shipping Ted Bundy because they were just like, oh, he's so handsome. And it's like, guys.
Well, there was another serial killer. Well, there was another serial killer in the 80s, the Night Stalker. He actually got some random woman to marry him while he was on death row.
Wait, didn't Charles Manson have that same thing happen to him?
Yeah, he did. He had a woman marry him, but she ultimately, I think earlier this year, admitted that she married him just so that they could have rights to possess his remains because she had like another boyfriend and it was just this weird like we're just hooked on true crime stuff and we want to own Charles Manson's body.
You know who else does this shit is the Lieutenant Weigel in Reno when she marries the serial killer.
Yeah, yeah.
She had my favorite line in that whole show. F you, F you, F you, fuck you.
I love her. I love her. I don't have anything to say about the lawyers on Ted Bundy's case. I'm not sure.
No, yeah. That's okay. It was a reach, but that's why it was the final topic. So what I was going for is that Ted Bundy famously acted as his own counsel in a pro se defense.
Yeah, he did. That's right.
He attempted to be like, no, no one can defend me. And I, because of the hubris of his charisma and the fact that he had so successfully murdered and duped so many people, he was like, I can dupe these people too. And that's and it was sort of the tragic hilarity of the final chapter of that is that, a super scumbag. 4 points each for Ted Bundy because I'm just feeling good. You know, I'm just throwing points around. Let's just throw points around. Yeah, we learned about the Romans and we learned about other serial killers, and you know, I feel good. I feel really good.
Like Claudius is okay.
They're not all bad. There were a lot of good things, but it's the same. It's the same trajectory that our country is on, which is the leadership becomes less interested in leading and more interested in maintaining the power of the people who lead, and that's where the thing is, right?
And then the Senate becomes the yes men, which has not changed for centuries.
No, because ultimately the one thing that could have could win everyone's vote across the nation is if any politician stood up and said, "Hey, I want to do these three actual things for you to make your life easier." But they don't want to do that anymore because that's controversial, and they don't want to do that. They'd rather be like, "I'm gonna not change the stuff you don't want to change, and I will think about changing the things you do. Trust me, I've been doing this for 45 years."
That's just like the Romans.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Did someone say turn limits?
No, no one said turn limits, Joe. No one said term limits. It's all right.
Great job. The final score, again, very close game. Thank you so much, both of you, for taking the time out this evening.
For completely arbitrary and capricious ratings.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the points don't matter, but they matter because everybody likes to win. And this particular week, Maha, you have won with 21 points. Joe, you had 20 points. And, you know,
I'm appealing this ruling.
I will accept your appeal, and I think that we should have a rematch episode, and we will talk about something else that you have
an
affinity for, because
I'm all right with that.
You know, a lot of this hinged on factoids about Roman history that Maha brought out for whatever reason, and I might have a problem because I'm Italian, and so I was like, oh, Rome, that's my people. There's a lot of lot of grounds for appeal. I know I'm Sicilian, so they're not really my people.
Or you could just execute everybody. That's faster.
Yeah, we could do that too.
But then I just said
I'm on board with that.
I'm not, because that runs contrary to what I said earlier.
It's true. You're full of mixed messages. I don't know.
I am full of mixed messages. Jeez.
So, Maha is the winner. Do you have anything that you would like to plug? Anything you want people to know about?
So, if you've not killed your spouse or have any thoughts of, or no, if you have a COVID baby, I shouldn't say things like this, but if you need a family lawyer, I do sliding skill and unbundled services through my law firm here in Denver, the Colorado Family Law Project. But hopefully that's not the case. I had an unprecedented amount of requests for prenups this year. So if you're thinking about getting married, get yourself a prenup and get yourself a will. And Nate, the next time you see me, I would have memorized the entire Roman history timeline, including...
Great.
Julian, what is it? There's a fucking term for it. I can't think of it. Oh. It's the Caesar, like the Julio. Is it the Julian? No, it's not.
Well, because there's like there's the Julian Caesar calendar, right?
No. It's like the emperors that descended from Augustus and Julius Caesar.
Augustinian, wasn't it?
No, it's not Augustinian. Julio-Claudian dynasty. I just Wikipedia'd it because. Anyway, I'll have more information about that so you can just shamelessly plug Caligula into random trivia questions.
I love it. We will do that. We will have another game. You will be able to talk more Roman history.
Thanks, Nate. This is fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, thank you. Thank you so much for being back. Joe, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
If you have the cash to spare, please donate to Stacey Abrams' Flip the Senate Fund. I forgot the name of it, but it's the Georgia... Maha, do you remember the name of it by any chance?
The Georgia Dems? I don't know.
Yeah, it's Stacey Abrams' grassroots campaign, and I'm totally blanking on the name of it. I'm terrible.
The Google will be here in 2 seconds.
Fair Fight?
Fair Fight, that's
Fair
the
Fight.
One. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah, if you
mind,
have...
It's not.
Well, yeah, that's the one. That's what I'm plugging right now. Once I get my first paycheck next week, I'm definitely going to be donating to that.
Fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. Important thing to do because we have a real opportunity to at least create a minor majority, if not a permanent one, and maybe have good things happen for a short time. Have we the balls to do it? Thank you, Joe, for being back. Thank you, Maha, for coming back on the show. And like I said, we will do another rematch, and hopefully we'll be able to do it in a time when we can all sit in the room together. Maybe we'll be in a post-vaccine reality.
Oh, I'm unblinded from my study as of Friday morning, I think. So I have a feeling I got the real one, but I'm going to find out soon if I got the real vaccine or not.
All right. Ooh, that's exciting.
Oh, that's
yeah.
Right. You're part of that trial, right?
Yeah, I'm part of the Pfizer trial.
Oh, well, you know, Moderna just came out and it was more effective.
5% more effective.
Okay, listen, bitch. That's the difference between an A- minus and an A. We're fine.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go with the A in this one just because I'm just kidding.
I want that extra 5%.
Oh my God. Yeah. Listeners, if you like this podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. You can also check out our Dungeons & Dragons podcast that we just recently launched called Roll for Blank, where you can listen to me DM a campaign with a bunch of really hilarious people as we goof off and maybe kill dragons or monsters. I don't know. How does this stuff really work? It's about dice rolling. Also, I recommend that you check out Colorado Family Law Project and Fair Fight. I recommend that you also continue to support Black Lives Matter and other causes that have not ceased to be important just because the summer's over. And, you know, otherwise, if you liked our theme song, check out Michael J. O'Connor's music at michaeljoconnor.bandcamp.com. We have all had a vague idea about lawyers, and that is a good thing because the devil is in the details. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So long.
I rest, Your Honor. I rest.
A Vague Idea is written and produced by me, Nate Regolia, with Shannon Page, and sometimes John Perros. Information about topics often come from Wikipedia, so hey, why not donate a bit to that? Sound effects are Creative Commons public domain. If you like this podcast, tell a few people, and subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. And if you happen to like reading science fiction, check out the small press I started with my friend Sean Grokowski. You can find Spaceboy books at readspaceboy.com.